Just for Women is an unusual broadcast for women in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Yvonne Waite deals biblically with the many issues facing women today. The Bible tells the older women to speak the things which become sound doctrine, and teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the Word of God be not blasphemed. Listen now to Mrs. Waite speaking just for women.
Hello, girls. Let's look in Proverbs 7. My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her lips. I want to read to you an editorial by Marvin Olinsky. It's from the July 18th World Magazine. It's a little lengthy, but I think you'll get it. Plato wrote, "Give me the songs of a nation, and it matters not who writes its laws." What a modern corollary for the Christian songs, films, and even television ministries against the teachings of the Bible. I ask that question while reflecting on one tragedy of South Carolina Governor Mark Sanford, and what it tells us about ways in which Christians and non-Christians are similar, yet different. One similarity, the power of the riptide. Sanford, in June 2008, as he was already in water over his head, wrote to the Argentine subject of his affections that he had crossed lines he never would have imagined crossing. Lines, plural is right. An old math joke has a professor telling his students, "You can sit near your girlfriend and move half the distance to her, and then half the remaining distance, and then half again and half again, but you'll never be right where she is." The student responds, "True enough, but I'm close enough for all practical purposes." If it were just one clear, unmistakable line to be crossed, Sanford might not have ruined his marriage, but this gross sin, like all others, undoubtedly started an easy crossing of lines that seemed dotted rather than solid. Sometimes we don't realize we've swum into a riptide until we're pulled out to sea. But sometimes we do realize what we're doing, and here's where cultural products have such an effect. A telling line from Sanford's email, quote, "I better stop now, lest this really sound like the Thornbirds, wherein I was always upset with Richard Chamberlain for not dropping his ambitions and running into Maggie's arms," end quote. Say what? The Thornbirds is a melodramatic TV miniseries based on a Colleen McCullough novel, first broadcast on ABC in 1983 and now available on DVD. Richard Chamberlain, he plays a character who puts his career ambitions above his illicit love. Results, misery. "I don't know when Sanford saw the Thornbirds," says Marvin Olinsky, "but that it came to mind at a crucial time shows how the picture in our heads can sometimes influence us more than the words of the Bible, even when we know the latter to be true." Sanford, in his email, describes what we both have to see as an impossible situation. That's what he said, what we both have to see as an impossible situation. He quotes the Bible. Then he evidently remembers the morals of the Thornbirds, walks away from love. You know it's wrong, and you'll be miserable the rest of your life. People magazine, about 15 years ago, listed the 100 top romances of the 20th century. Over half were adulterous, but people treated them all as glorious. More pictures in our heads. What's missing in Sanford's email was reliance, and of all his emails, was reliance on Christ, the riptide analogy. If you're caught in one and try to swim directly toward shore, you'll just tire yourself out fighting against the riptide's power, and you might drown. But if you keep your head and rely on God's providential limiting of the riptide's breath, you'll know that by swimming parallel to shore, you can escape the water's pull and make it home safely. Sanford did what all non-Christians and many Christians do in emergencies. He depended on his own strength and his own judgment, twisted as it had become. He was lost. When it was too late and he faced the press upon his return to South Carolina, he said truly that God's law is designed to protect you from yourself. But at a crucial time, he forgot that, as we all do at times. But here's one way Christians are different from non-Christians. We're bad liars. When caught, we confess rather than stonewall. Reactions from secular liberal strategists late last month were telling. One Huffington Press pundit said to Sanford, "The executive leadership he showed in confessing to his sins was really bad." Democratic political Steve McMahon said on MSNBC's Hardball, "What I would have suggested is that he put out a statement which says, 'My wife and I separated 2 weeks ago. I left the country to have some private time, and I'm not going to have anything further to say about it.'" Christians tend to follow a different strategy known as confession, because we know that that's part of God's hard mercy, is bringing it into the light what we try to do in the darkness. Isn't that something? Dear Lord, I come to you now very burdened that men and women are so adulterous. They catch themselves in situations where they should not be, and they do not stop. They can feel the pull on their heart and their emotions, and the fancy attracts them, and they rush right into it. Dear Father, I pray for the girl right now who's listening, and perhaps a man too, that's heading in the direction of an affair with somebody that they're not married to. Oh God, rebuke them and bring them back to Thee and to the straight and narrow and faithfulness to their mates. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I've been reading the book of Proverbs, and I thought that I would try to read you one of the things that I have written lately. "Keep my commandments, they may keep thee from the strange woman and from the stranger which flattereth with her words." That's Proverbs 7:5. The first few verses of Proverbs are instructions for a son to Proverbs 7 are instruction for a son to keep his father's words. Many times I read those at the beginning of the program. Many times sons think their fathers do not know anything. Sometimes it takes years for a son to realize the wisdom of his dad. In these early verses, the son is reminded to bind his fingers with the commandments of God, to write them on his heart, and to practice wisdom and to say, "Thou art my sister." He is to realize that understanding is like a close relative. The reason this father tells his son to keep close to the precepts of God is to keep the son from the clutches of a scheming woman. The world is full of such fake, flattering females. They want to get their clutches into the heart and soul of a fine man to ruin him. They pretend they care. In truth, they only care for their own pleasure. The father said that he could look out his window and see these awful women going after men, both young and old men, who do not have the faintest idea what the woman are doing until it's too late. On a certain street, we read this in the Bible, a woman lurked. She was scantily dressed, leaving little to the imagination. In fact, she dressed like the town prostitute. She was a crafty. She was planning how to get the man's son. She is loud and stubborn, knowing what she wanted. Her goal was to get that man into her bed. She had plans. Because her husband was out of town, she knew that no one was in her house to see her wicked ways. She had the perfect plan. As the boy passed her corner, she reached her hand out and touched him. Then she caught him. She threw her arms around his neck, kissing him shamelessly. Pretending a spirituality that she really did not possess, she talked of her peace offering. She knew he was a religious youth. She knew such God talk would weaken his guard. She said, "I came out here on the street to meet you." She had seen him before. She wanted him in a sexual way. "I have found you." How happy she was to have him close to her. She told him that her bed was inviting with perfumes and spices. Certain odors invite intimacy. "Come," she whispered, "let us make love until morning." How many young men could resist such an offer? She begged him for comfort, feigning fear of being alone. Her sensuous words sounded like a soft breeze on a summer's night to the beguiled man. They were irresistible sounds to his ears. He was falling into her trap, not really knowing it was a trap. All this sweet talk caused him to yield. Before he knew it, he was like an ox going to slaughter. He was like a foolish drunken man pushing into a jail cell. No self-will or power to resist temptation. It all seemed too good to be true. This woman wanted him, but after a night in her perfumed bed, she kicked him out. He had been like a bird flying into a trap, not knowing death was near. His manhood was gone. His shame was intense. He left her presence wounded. Something had died within his soul. Too late, he had learned that her house was the way to hell. This was the illustration the wise father gave his innocent son. He was told to deter him from foolish women. The father's desire to save the soul and purity of his son, yes. I wonder if the youth heeded his father's advice, or did he run the way of the world and damn his own soul? What is the lesson that Proverbs 7 has taught us today? It tells me that no matter the age of a man, he will be subject to the wiles of an impotent woman who is after him. No matter how young or how old a man is, there is always a woman who wants to make him fall. Woe be to that man, and cursed is that woman. This is really quite a lesson for us to learn, isn't it? It's quite a lesson. Keep my commandments and live. And my law is the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers. Write them upon the tables of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding my kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. Are you flattered by the words of someone of the opposite sex that you're not married to? Are you flattered, and do you find yourself going to that person when you shouldn't? You must get a hold of your emotions. You must take yourself away from that situation and pray to God to keep you pure. I beg you, pray to God to keep you pure, because that's what we need. Let not thine heart decline to the other person's evil ways. Go not astray in her path, for she hath cast down many wounded. You would not be the first one that this person would get to. Many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chamber of death. Don't be trapped by her much fair speech.
You have been listening to Just for Women with Yvonne Waite, sponsored by the Bible for Today Baptist Church in Collingswood, New Jersey. We invite you to visit our church Sundays at 10 a.m. and Thursdays at 8 p.m. If you need more information about our church, our broadcast, or our Savior, please call us toll-free 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Email bft@bibleforToday.org. The organist and pianist is Mr. Dick Carroll. Your announcer has been Dr. D.A. Waite, pastor of the Bible for Today Baptist Church. We invite all you ladies to join us next week, same time, same station, to hear Yvonne Waite and Just for Women.
I'm under God's care. Are you?